Today we're going to talk about Luke 22, and starting in verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Now it's interesting that it talks about the Passover here, because what is the Passover? The Passover is the time when, during Moses' time, when the children of Israel were about to be delivered from Egypt. And the Passover was when the blood was put on the lintels of the door to keep the death angel from killing the firstborn of the children of Israel. So it was through Passover that the children of God received deliverance. And now that we're coming up on the death of Christ in the Bible here, we're closing in on a section that's talking about the death of Christ. We're back at the Passover again, because this is the time when Christ will deliver us, as he did the children of Israel from Egypt. And verse 2, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. And they feared the people because all the people liked Jesus and knew that the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests were all corrupt. And then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. Now, this is the time when, just before the Passover, it says here clearly that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, a number of the 12. Now, you need to understand a couple of things. One is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were all done under Old Testament law, and that they describe the transition from the Old Testament law to the New Testament. So all of the 12 apostles, none of them were saved until after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, because there was no salvation until Jesus was raised from the dead. So they are living under Old Testament law. They had to push back their sins by giving sacrifices and all the normal stuff. Judas, under the law, not being spirit-filled, none of that had happened yet, gave himself to the devil for money, and we'll see that coming up in a couple of verses. The apostles, none of them were saved at this point. You can't be saved until the Savior does the saving. Just like the Passover didn't occur until after the blood had been put on the post to cover the children of Israel. So it is in the New Testament that the saving can't be done until the Savior, Jesus, defeats the devil. And he does that when he's raised from the dead after he's been in hell 3 days. It's somewhat similar to a teacher. If I'm called to be a teacher, I'm really not a teacher. Even though I've been to school and have done other things, I'm really not a teacher until I actually teach. Then I become a teacher. Jesus, while he was the Savior, didn't really save anybody until he defeated the enemy, Satan. So he's sort of the Savior in development at this point, in a manner of speaking. He is still the Son of God and all of that stuff, but he really hasn't performed the act of saving until he's nailed to the cross and risen from the dead. At this point, really, what he is a prophet. Jesus is really a prophet at this point, right? And really doesn't fulfill the fullness of being the Savior until he's raised from the dead. Verse 4, and he went his way, talking about Judas, and communed with the chief priest and the captains how he might betray him unto them, might betray Jesus. And they were glad and coveted it to give him money. So they made a pact. Judas and the chief priest made a pact, and the chief priest were going to give him money, and Judas was going to give him Jesus. in verse 6. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Because he knew the multitude of people would defend Jesus against the chief priests and the Pharisees. In verse 7. And then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Once again, our Passover. He is the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And that's about to come here in a little bit. And verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And it's interesting. Peter gave the first sermon, and John gave the last sermon. It's interesting that that's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Once again, symbolic of Jesus. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entering into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master says unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready. So, once again, Jesus, leading through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, tells them where to go. And it's all, notice that when God gives you inspiration, there's no confusion. God is not the author of confusion. These people knew, the person that they were to interact with knew. Everything was laid out. There was no confusion. If you think God's dealing with you about something and you're confused about it, it's not from God. It's that simple. Every place you see where Jesus is telling somebody to do something or foreseeing something that happens, there's never any confusion. It's always plain and upfront. Verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So he's talking to the apostles. They're getting ready to have communion, is what they're getting ready to have. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you, and do in remembrance of me. All of this is talking about the crucifixion. This is all preparing people for the crucifixion and giving thanks for what Christ is getting ready to do on the cross. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. So Judas is the man that's going to betray him. And Jesus is willing to take the cross, he just said. But woe unto the person that actually did the betrayal, and that's Judas. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest. And this is really silly. Here we are on the verge of the New Testament. And what are they arguing about? Who's going to be big in heaven? Who's going to be the wheel? And Jesus is getting ready to sacrifice himself. And this shows that they really weren't operating in the spirit, but they were doing those things out of the flesh that motivated them. And that they really wouldn't understand, really wouldn't fathom what was going on until after Christ was risen. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth service. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint you unto a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on my thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31, And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So, we see that Satan attacked Judas and conquered him and entered into Judas. Now, just a few verses later, we see that Satan also had a desire on Simon Peter. And we know that Simon Peter had very weak times when he wasn't very strong at all. And Jesus is warning him, you want to be like Judas? No. Verse 32, But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen my brother. See, Simon Peter couldn't be converted, couldn't be saved until Jesus went to the cross. Simon, like the other apostles, weren't saved yet. They were believers that Jesus was the Son of God. That's true. And they treated him as God, and he was the Son of God. Okay, but he wasn't the Savior yet until he defeated the devil. Verse 33, And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt three times deny that you know me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. They didn't lack anything. When Jesus sent them out, trust God, is what he's saying. Lean on God. God will watch over you. If you're doing what God tells you to do, don't worry about it. Verse 36, And then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. See, he's opening it up for them that the swords that he wants them to have are not the fleshly swords, but the sword of the Word. And the trust God is what he's saying, and don't worry about the physical fleshly things. Verse 39, And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he told God straight up, says, his flesh understands what's getting ready to happen. That the crucifixion is going to happen, and it's going to be very painful. It's going to hurt, and there's going to be a lot of punishment from the enemy, from the devil, and the people that are yielded to the devil. And he really didn't want to do it, but it wasn't his will. He would follow God's will for whatever the Father wanted. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from praying and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. In other words, so what does prayer do? Prayer strengthens you so that you don't fall into temptation. If you pray, your prayer strengthens you. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And when Jesus said unto the chief priest and the captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staffs? And when I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. He's telling them, look, you're all servants of the devil. You're doing the devil's work. And it shows you the foolishness of the devil, that the devil didn't even realize what power God was getting ready to release, because Jesus was about to go into hell and break the bonds of the devil and be raised from the dead. But the devil was so stupid he didn't even realize it. And then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed far off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man is also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently confirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crows, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Thou art the Christ. Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also asked you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. And then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we understand, we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. In other words, they considered Jesus claiming to be the Son of God blasphemy. And that was all they needed to hear, and that was all they wanted to hear. They had bound and determined in advance that they were going to kill Jesus, and that's exactly what they did. This program was produced and distributed by Applesauce Kids. You can find us on the internet at http://applesaucekids.com, or you can email us at applesauce@applesaucekids.com. Please feel free to use this program, copy, teach, translate into other languages, place on the internet or electronic bulletin boards, and distribute for non-profit personal ministry reasons as often as you wish. Yes, you can even copy this program and use it on your website. Freely you have received this program, and freely you should give it to someone else. This program was recorded on October 24th, 2004.